It is convention season, as in nominating conventions for the fall races, and both the Democratic and Republican parties, elected officials and party loyalists, are getting together to consider the candidates for their side, cast their delegate votes, who will be on the ballot for governor, lieutenant governor, attorney general, and a handful of other positions. Now, the Democrats will hold their caucus on June 4th, but the Republicans held their convention this past weekend. And joining us to help understand what happened and what it means is WBUR senior reporter Steve Brown, and a little bit of a note reporter notebook, too, as we bring Steve here from the newsroom. Steve, welcome.
Hi, Tiziana.
All right, great to have you. So first, take us to the convention, sweltering hot weekend. I think we're out in Springfield, right?
That's correct.
Yeah, so tell me about it. Just bring us into the space, Steve.
Well, the air conditioning in the Mass Mutual Center was phenomenal. It was great. It was nice and cool.
Thank goodness.
As far as the temperature was concerned. I heard that a lot of delegates were grumbling at the state committee for making them drive all the way out there. Now, 4 years ago, they had their convention at the DCU Center in Worcester. There are a lot of Republicans in Worcester County, so I can understand why they liked it there. But in the hall on Saturday, the delegates got pumped up by speakers touching on all sorts of hot-button issues, such as their desire to overturn Roe versus Wade, the securing of the southern border, vaccine mandates, taxes, and backing the police, just to name a few.
So we had two candidates for governor sitting kind of over those issues, Steve. One, former state representative Jeff Deal, the other newcomer, political newcomer, businessman Chris Doty. And the question was not so much who was going to get the endorsement as it was whether Doty was going to get enough support to be on the ballot, right?
Yeah, that's right. That was the overwhelming question, since a candidate has to get at least 15% of the convention delegate vote in order to get on the ballot in the fall. Now, Doty's folks were saying they weren't sure how he would do going into the weekend. They were hopeful, but they didn't seem 100% sure that he would make it. In the end, Doty picked up 29%, about twice as much of what he needed, to Jeff Deal's 71%. It was never a question that Deal was going to win this convention and win the endorsement. But that what it means is that both those names, Deal and Doty, will appear on the Republican primary ballot in September.
Okay, and there's something actually deeper going on here, right, Steve, which was, I mean, people from the outside have sort of been watching what this was going to be this weekend, like some kind of rumble in the jungle between the moderate wing of the state Republican Party and an increasingly pro-Trump, MAGA-oriented Republican state leadership and state party. So not only did Deal come forward, but did they demonstrate a further alliance with what seems to be the emerging Republican consensus nationally?
Yeah, they seem to again align themselves with what's going on nationally, more so than the issues of the state. Although the issues of the state, the people who were there were upset about the vaccine mandates and business closures during COVID, so they expressed those concerns. It wasn't quite a rumble in the jungle, as you described there. Basically, it was a party for Jeff Deal and his backers, which is pretty much the core of the state Republican Party here in Massachusetts. But also, I think Doty's approach was to get in there, get what he needed from the delegates in order to survive, to live another day in September, and that's what he did.
So, Steve, you brought us a little bit of sound from Chris Doty, talking kind of about what his strategy is. You want to tell us about that?
Sure. His strategy is to appeal beyond the GOP base. Everyone knows that Charlie Baker didn't serve two terms as governor simply because of support from Republicans. There aren't enough Republicans in Massachusetts to be able to do that. He got in because of support from moderate Democrats and independents, and that isn't lost on Chris Doty.
We'll need the independents. You know, that's the largest party in our state, right? That's the largest group. And so we'll reach out to him and make our case, which is really, you know, just making the state affordable and having good schools and doing the things that the citizens are really living with.
Now, the question remains, however, will enough independents be willing to pull a Republican ballot in September to support Doty? Without that support, then Doty won't make it past the primary.
And then there's Deal, who did get an endorsement from former President Donald Trump, but didn't really hammer away with that at the convention this weekend, Steve.
Yeah, he knows that endorsement is a two-edged sword here in Massachusetts. It made him the darling of the convention, and he acknowledged the delegates are aware of his ties to the with the former president. Still, if he's the nominee, he's going to have to pivot and try to tamp down that connection.
We've been talking about that with communications to the delegate base for a while. They all know who I supported. They know my opponent supported Hillary Clinton in 2016. None of that's a secret. So for me, again, today it's talking about the issues that they actually care about, not necessarily national politics, but what affects them here in Massachusetts.
Still, if he is the nominee, Deal will have to pivot and try to tamp down the connection with Trump. Although you can be sure whoever is the Democratic nominee will remind voters about Deal and Trump every chance that she gets.
So what part of what's interesting to me, Steve, here, and you know, you've covered politics for a long time here in the state. You've covered the State House. You've covered Governor Baker really closely. He wasn't there. So we talked to him a couple of weeks ago, last week, actually, and I want to play you a little bit of him talking about the role of the Republican Party in a blue state like Massachusetts.
So first of all, I think it's really important there be more than one team on the field. I've said this my entire political career, and I had a front row seat to watch it happen when I worked for Governors Weld and Cellucci, and I believe there's been a lot of benefit in having more than one voice on the discussion and that we've had over the past 7 years I've been governor.
And then not even there, nor was Lieutenant Governor Karen Pleto, of course, neither of them running again. Mm-hmm. So are we looking at a potential party in the wilderness? I know Republicans lost seats in the last statewide elections. Just reflect on that a little bit, especially given your extensive experience covering the governor.
Sure. There are elected Republicans in the legislature. There's about 30 in the House, 3 in the Senate. They want to continue serving. They're mostly all looking for re-election, I'm pretty sure. And they know that if the party lurches too far to the right, it may actually put some of their seats in jeopardy. They don't want to be cast by that broad brush of being, you know, Trump supporters and what have you. There's still moderate Charlie Baker type Republicans in the legislature, and they want to hang on to that as much as they can.
And what about the people in the seats, not on the podium this weekend, Steve? You were talking to lots of folks there. What are you hearing on the ground?
Yeah, delegates seem to be fired up about sticking it to progressive Democrats. They cheered all the hot button culture war issues that were raised. Many take great pleasure in mocking Joe Biden. I heard one delegate express disappointment in the men's room that there weren't any Biden stickers on the toilets. I did have some conversations with some Republican legislators who, as I mentioned, are more in line with Charlie Baker. They're concerned that the party continues to shift to the right, especially on social issues. It may make elected Republicans in Massachusetts an endangered species.
All right. Before I let you go, Steve, what do you make of all this yourself, watching it for so long now?
Yeah, it's interesting to see the shift in the party. Back in 2014, the Republican State Committee, the state party, was Charlie Baker's party. It was built in his image. They loved him. But by 2018, some of the hardcore Republicans in Massachusetts had cast their lot with Donald Trump. And Baker, who was never made it a secret that he was never a fan of Donald Trump, got labeled a rhino. So we're seeing that shift. The question is, again, as I had indicated earlier, are enough Charlie Baker independents and Republicans going to pull a ballot for Chris Doty in September?
We are going to watch that with you. That is Steve Brown, senior reporter here at WBUR. Thanks, Steve.
Thanks, Tiziana.
So joining us now, Lisa Kaczynski, who is author of the Political Massachusetts Playbook. Lisa, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Thanks for having me again.
So you were there this weekend as well. I'm going to dive into some of the other statewide races. But before I do, let me just give your reaction to the convention.
Yeah, well, as Steve kind of said, this ain't Charlie Baker's Republican Party anymore. A lot of talk of the culture war issues, election integrity, CRT, taking down the radical left. But there were, there weren't as many Baker allies in the room as there had been in past years. You saw that by just fewer delegates coming overall. Yet those who were there and those who were still watching the convention from afar, they walked away feeling some hope that, not all is lost for moderates in this party. Yes, there was a lot of talk of conservative messaging, you know, a conservative chair, Jim Lyons, declaring this a new Republican Party, delegates who were happy to be moving on from the Baker years. But there were some who, you know, with Chris Doty doing better than expected, same with his running mate, Kate Campanelli, they saw signs for hope. There is still a Baker standard bearer running this year in Anthony Amore. So they saw some good signs at this convention, even though it was overwhelmingly conservative.
And Anthony Amore is running for auditor, and Charlie Baker's endorsed him, correct?
Yes, Charlie Baker has endorsed him, has campaigned for him, has helped get him signatures to get on the ballot. And yes, Anthony, at the convention in his speech, he is now the state party's endorsed candidate for auditor. There was no one running against him. And he did strike a different tone than some of the other candidates running. So he is kind of the Baker-esque standard bearer in this race right now, even though the governor, as you guys said earlier, was not in attendance.
So there are other statewide races, too. Who else got the nod on the Republican side? And then we'll talk about the upcoming Democratic convention.
Yes. So governor and lieutenant governor on the Republican side are contested. So you saw, of course, Jeff Deal and his running mate, Leocole Allen, get those. And then you have Jay McMahon, who got the nod for attorney general, and Rayla Campbell, who got the nod for secretary of state.
And what are you watching for when the Democrats take their turn the first weekend in June?
There are a few things that I have my eye on. Of course, we're going to see a similar dynamic play out at the top of the ticket for governor between Maura Healey and Sonia Chang Diaz. There's been the same questions that Chris Doty was getting of, is she going to get this 15%? She sounds a little bit more confident going into her convention than she did going, than
she
did
she
going
She being
into
Sonia
his.
Chang Diaz.
Sonia Chang Diaz. Yes, sorry. So that's one thing we're watching, is how much of a dent she can make in Maura Healey's support, obviously as someone who has run twice already statewide. Another thing I'm watching is the lieutenant governor race and whether all of those candidates are going to make it through. There are five people running right now. Each candidate needs at least 15% support to get on the ballot. Fundraising has been kind of lackluster for some of these candidates so far. It's unclear where their delegate support stands. So all five of them might not make it through.
So are you following what's been going on with the attorney general, state attorney general race? We've got candidates Quentin Palfrey and Shannon Liss Reardon signing a pledge to limit the use of super PAC money. Seems to be a targeted move towards the other Democratic candidate, former Boston City Councilor Andrea Campbell. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, this race has been shaping up to be kind of a two-on-one against Andrea, who is the polling and fundraising leader for some time now. And yes, they're signing that People's Pledge today. Campbell has not responded to any of the calls to sign that pledge. And that's because, as she said on WCVB's On the Record over the weekend, there is no super PAC money in the AG race. So it's basically a back and forth over the Better Boston super PAC that supported her mayoral bid. That PAC is still open. It hasn't been active yet in the AG's race, but Quentin Palfrey in particular has been seizing on it to kind of send warnings about, you know, Andrea should disavow this. There shouldn't be, you know, the possibility of a super PAC getting into this race. So that's why you have the People's Pledge. That's why you have her out there saying there is no PAC money in this race. And that's why there's a lot of drama in this race right now.
All right. Before we let you go, there is some real contest on the Democratic side in the auditor's race and the Secretary of State race as well. What are you most interested between those two races right now?
Definitely looking to see how the convention shakes out. I mean, we've seen in polling and kind of in fundraising a little bit, too, that in the auditor's race, Diana DeSoglio and Chris Dempsey are kind of neck and neck. They have been in these early polls. But now you have Suzanne Bump, who the current auditor who's not running for re-election has endorsed Chris Dempsey to be her successor. She's obviously big in the Democratic Party. So look to see how maybe she has an influence in delegates. She's going to be at a party with Dempsey the night before the convention. So look to see if they kind of stay kind of even at this convention in terms of delegate support to get on the ballot, or if one of them really moves ahead of the other. And a similar thing for Secretary of State.
All right. Sorry, we're just going to wrap up. Lisa, thank you. And I'll look forward to having you back to talk more as these races unfold. Lisa Kashinsky covers Massachusetts politics for Politico. Thanks, Lisa.
Absolutely. Thank you.